Hi, Liam.
Hi, Robin.
How are you?
You know, I'm doing pretty good. I'm kind of flying on caffeine right now.
I'm a little bit jealous.
You are?
Yeah, I have only had one cup of coffee today.
I had like five.
Gross.
Aren't they going to chase you out of Seattle about that?
Probably. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi, Robin.
Hi, Robin.
How's it going?
Well, you know, we're doing good.
I could use a little more coffee.
Me too. I could go for like 47 more coffees.
Don't you get free coffee in Seattle?
Basically. But the good coffee you have to pay for. You can get like cheap, crappy coffee for free.
What's cheap, crappy coffee? Like Starbucks?
No, it's just like old drip. Like a lot of places in Seattle just have like drip hanging around that you can just get, but it's always cold or gross.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like the idea of drip just hanging around. Like that sounds like drip just hanging around. Drip.
Just drips everywhere.
Just dripping.
Sounds like our office. Boom.
Aww.
Man, Liam.
Sorry. Just telling it like it is.
Okay, yeah, business plan. Let's take the cold.
She's like the Donald Trump of podcasting now. You're just going to lay some truth on it.
Are you guys dripping?
We're dripping a little. We dripping.
No, Liam's practicing being a winner because we're all losers.
Jesus.
Dripping could be a cool new lingo. I'd be into that.
Ooh, that's... It's going to be gross. I'm pretty sure. Dripping.
Do you want to start this episode or what?
I mean, sure.
Yeah. So wait, what is this?
Do you want to do an intro?
Yeah, let's do an intro.
Someone could do an intro. I could do an intro.
Hey, this is Mike. This is Let's Make Mistakes, obviously.
What's up, mistakers, mistakeys, mistakists?
Hi.
So
we have a special guest with us this week, someone I'm really, really excited to finally have on the show. We have Robin Canner coming to us from Seattle.
She's probably regretting this already.
Oh, don't regret it.
She's among our favorite internet people. I would say that's true of all of us.
That's an amazing motto. Oh, don't regret it. That should be the show's motto.
That's my Friday night motto.
Pretty good.
Oh.
You make mistakes, you don't regret them.
Hi, Robin.
Hi, Mike. How's it going?
Good. So I've known Robin for a while now, I guess.
I think 2012 or maybe 11?
Yeah, something like that. We met on the internet.
Yeah.
Nice.
I left my home state because of an email exchange between us.
That was a horrible thing to do. I mean, I don't know if leaving your home state was a horrible thing to do. Listening to me was a horrible thing to do.
I mean, I listened to a lot of people, but you were one of them. Yeah.
Oh, okay. As long as there were other people in there in the mix.
Yeah, there was at least like 34 other people that I asked to. But you sent me like a really long email that was really, really well thought out.
Well, you know, you emailed me with the situation there, and you know, it was intriguing, and you wrote a good story, like you laid out a good story, and it really made me think about it, and I wanted to help. I don't know if I did, but
I think you did.
It made me want to reply and reply thoughtfully, which you know is kind of a skill.
That's true. Yeah,
I mean. Sending somebody an email that makes that person want to give a thoughtful reply is a skill.
It's true.
And Robin had that.
I'd never heard of this.
Yeah, it's my first time hearing the story.
This is our origin story.
Wow.
Aww.
So I was living in Maine, and I was probably like, I think, 10 months on hormones at that time. And Maine was just like a really weird place to be transitioning in.
Mm-hmm.
And
let's hold on a second. Maine is a really weird place to be doing anything in.
I mean, that's true from my perspective, for sure. Okay.
But go ahead.
Essentially, I had just left an interview where I was told that my work was really great and that they weren't going to hire me because I was trans. And I was in another weird position and I felt like very trapped. And Maine's kind of weird because there's only like one way to get out of it. Like you have to go through New Hampshire to leave Maine. So I felt really stuck and I ended up emailing Mike and I was like, here's what's going on. I'm not sure what the best protocol here is. And then like the next week I moved to Boston and just started freelancing.
Nice. Wow.
I did not know that.
Yeah, this is my first time hearing the story.
Yeah, I met you in Boston. That was the first time I ever met you.
Oh yeah, we did that dinner. Yeah.
I think what's going through their heads right now is, wow, he's not a total asshole.
I know that you're secretly a very kind person, Mike.
Let's keep that a secret, shall we?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, this is like the record of number of times I've awed at something disparaging.
Well, it was a really crappy story.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't great.
I mean, you told it great, but it was a crappy story to have to tell. Like,
here you
were wanting to be, you know, wanting to have like a design career and really caring about what you did. And these people telling you that you couldn't work for them, not because your work wasn't any good, because it was, but you know, because of who you were, which is just, I mean, not only is that shitty, it's also incredibly stupid.
Like, yeah, it wasn't too smart.
Let me ask a really ignorant question, because I'm a Californian, so I don't. Is that legal in Maine to discriminate?
Question. It's a great question.
It was at the time. I don't think it is legal anymore, but I think with a lot of like the discriminatory like cases that happen around, people find loopholes around them. So it can be like legal but not legal at the same time.
There's always a reason. I mean, culture fit is
for sure.
I mean, I'll let you talk about it because I'm sure you've heard them.
Yeah, I mean, it was really interesting because what happened is it kind of spawned like me drifting for a couple years. Like I remember, you know, leaving Maine, going to Boston, and I took a freelance contract at Staples and worked with like this incredibly great design team. And so like all the kind of like the bad things that happened in Maine really spawned this really excellent experience. And so, you know, I contracted at Staples and then I ended up contracting at New Balance. And then I left Boston entirely and went to Portland, Oregon for 3 months. And then I'm in Seattle now. So I've lived in 4 states in the last 20 months.
That's a lot of states in 20 months. I've lived in 1 state in 25 years. So why the moving around on the West Coast? Because I know you jumped over to the West Coast and then you did a little bit of bouncing around while you were in there. How come?
I broke up with the East Coast. It sounds really dramatic when I say that, but it's kind of what happened. I just really wanted a break from the Northeast, and moving out West seemed like the smartest thing to do. So I kind of just bought a one-way ticket to Portland, Oregon. And from there, I interviewed down in San Francisco and then in Seattle and ended up here in Seattle.
Nice.
Yeah.
How have you found the West Coast to be different from the East?
Well, I can buy pot legally.
That's nice.
Not everywhere on the West Coast.
That's true.
Well, everywhere but California.
Which is weird, right?
It is really weird.
Unless you have a legitimate medical problem.
Well, legitimate.
Everybody grows out there, don't they, though?
I think in Humboldt, everyone grows.
Mm.
I think I'm out of pot is a legitimate reason to need pot.
That's a medical concern.
Yeah.
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 Holy shit, I don't have any pot.
A legitimate medical concern. So it seems like you're doing rather better since the days that you met Mike, would you say?
Yeah, no, good. I mean, I think it was a process, and I think processes can be really healthy. I ultimately landed in a really healthy spot. I've been building this thing called My Trans Health for the last like year or so, and I'm a designer over at Amazon too. And yeah, I think everything turned out better than I had expected.
Let's talk about My Trans Health.
Oh, let's. Yeah.
Let's.
Please.
Because I've seen this site.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful site. Can you please tell our listener what it's about?
For sure. So My Trans Health is a site designed to help trans people get access to quality healthcare. We launched a Kickstarter, like I think 7 months ago, and raised enough money to get us to like this first initiative. We basically, all 4 of us who have been working on it are trans, and we had each different experiences having difficulty time finding access to hormones or just like a doctor who could help us at all. And we found out that really like the way that people were getting access to things was just by word of mouth. And we kind of came together and we were just like, well, what if we could just put all these like word of mouth things into one site that was able to be navigated relatively easily we could like walk them through a story on how they actually get access to hormones and just speed up the process so it doesn't feel so strange. Because I think some of the times it can feel strange just to get access to hormones or anything else for that matter.
Yeah, I totally, I know people who are finding a doctor is definitely a hindrance for them in some places.
So the site's got all that.
Right.
The site has all that. Yeah.
How have you compiled all that?
So we started with research. We got a lot of press when we launched the Kickstarter, which works in a favorable way in some instances and a not so favorable way in another instance.
I want to hear about both.
So it worked in the favorable way in that we got people to talk to us that probably never would have known that we existed.
Yeah.
So we had directors of health from Stanford reach out. We were able to get connected with multiple people in rural communities that was just doing work that we would have never known about. And that was great in the sense that like it gave us a starting point for our research, compiled with all the resources that we already had. The way it was like less favorable is it applied a lot of pressure to essentially an idea.
Yeah.
Because we were a little bit naive in the fact that it was really just an idea that we were kind of selling at the time. So it definitely put a lot of pressure to build the right product too.
So why did you go the Kickstarter route?
That's a really good question. We went the Kickstarter route for a couple of different reasons. One, I knew one of the designers over there, and I'd been following Kickstarter for a really long time. The other part of it was just that it seemed like the most knowledgeable source of credibility as far as like crowdfunding resources came from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We thought about like doing an Indiegogo or, you know, potentially writing a bunch of grants, but the way that the Kickstarter worked out is that we were able to raise money. We were also able to raise awareness at the exact same time.
Yeah.
So it was almost like an easy access to press in a way of doing it.
That's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Especially when you're launching something that's brand new like that.
Yeah. It got a lot of eyes on us really quickly. You know, one of the things that I worked kind of the hardest at with this Kickstarter campaign was leveling the playing field a lot of the times. It just really creating a sense of knowledge about what was happening. Basically, like when we launched with like a 5-minute video of me talking about my stories and experiences getting access. And it was helpful in that like it helped humanize this really difficult thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't really have access to scale. We only had like one or two stories. So once we started the Kickstarter, we also launched a hashtag on Twitter called TransHealthFail. And that gave us scale. All of a sudden, we had like thousands of people talking about their stories. So it was really helpful to us for just to gain awareness and also raise them enough money that we needed to launch this product.
Are those stories on the site?
We have some of those stories on the site right now. I worked with the illustrator Kirk Wallace. And when you actually do come to the site, you'll see a couple of different illustrations that are done by him. And we're going to have some various case studies that leak out over blogs once we actually launch too.
So, when are you launching?
What a wonderful question.
Do you know?
Kind of.
That's the only answer anyone can ever give to that question, really.
It's the only honest answer.
Yeah.
It's true. I thought about how I was going to answer this question a lot. The design of the whole site is done. Mm-hmm. What we're doing right now is we're seeking up engineering and we're scoping out what comes into play as we're doing this. One of the things that was really important for us is that we got it right. We didn't rush it out the door. So that's causing us to push back a couple weeks here and there.
Yeah.
Right now, we're looking at the first week of April, and it's definitely what we're trying to shoot for. But we're just trying to make sure that we get it right as opposed to launching something that could actively hurt someone.
Totally. Yes, that's so important.
How could it hurt someone?
Well, one of the things that you've obviously reiterated over the years is just this idea that designers really need to be able to take responsibility for the type of work that they're putting in the world. And, you know, one of the things that's really great about MyTransHealth is that of the 250 providers we're launching with, we've actually personally spoken with each and every one of them.
Holy shit.
Yeah, whoa. Really?
Yeah.
Repeat that sentence, please.
Of the 250 providers on MyTransHealth, we have personally spoken to each and every one of them.
Kick ass.
So
that's
you have,
amazing.
You have verified that all of these providers are actually do what they do and do it well and do it in a caring way.
The only way that we were going to be able to take responsibility for the site's existence was to do that. There was no other way around. So yeah, that part is definitely scoped us out. We're trying to like squeeze in a bunch of things before launch because we're a little bit behind from our deadline.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get a couple more providers on it to make up for that loss. So there's a couple of different factors that are coming into play, but first week of April is where we're at right now.
Very cool. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say that's awesome.
Oh.
Say something smarter.
Okay. I was just wondering, are you having a lot of like doctors and practitioners coming forward like, hey, you know, I am really trans friendly. I can help you with this. I'm experienced. Or is it more like tips coming from other users? Like, this is a really great doctor who helped me a lot.
A little bit of both. So we have like a submissions form that launched with our Kickstarter. So we've had doctors and practitioners reach out and say, you know, we're doing this work. And some of them have just been on par and didn't really great at answering questions. Some of them have needed like a little bit of coaching. So where those moments happen, we just sort of like, you know, what would you do if, you know, a trans person didn't present that femme? Would you still give her, you know, access to hormones or something like that? So those are the types of questions that we'd be asking with them just to make sure everything's set.
Yeah.
But in the same breath, there's been a lot of times where somebody's reached out and been like, I've seen this doctor in New York City and she was great. And like, you know, we had this one instance of 17 referrals to the same exact doctor in New York.
Wow.
So that was really cool. And it was just like, cool, we know that this person's going to be really great. So we definitely have like an Excel spreadsheet of practitioners who have reached out and then also people who have just said, you should check them out.
That's incredible.
So how are you going to build awareness of this site? Because this sounds like an excellent resource. How am I in the middle of, you know, my small town where I'm feeling totally alone and not like anybody else who lives there? How do I find out about this site?
I think, you know, one of the things about trans people on the internet is that we're pretty tapped in. If there's a resource, people will probably be Googling it. When we first launched the idea, I mean, we were featured like in the tech community really heavily, but within that, we were also featured within like back channel communities where trans people exist, which, you know, for the most part exist in like back channels in Slack or back channels in Reddit or, you know, however it plays out, IRC. So word of mouth spreads really quickly when you're trans.
Hmm. Secret trans cabal.
Kind of. It's like a black market.
I'm sad that it has to be, but it's great that you're getting exposure in that way.
I think it will just humanize it. You know, part of the things that I noticed over the years of just transitioning is like, sometimes when people talk about gender, they do it like with a whisper, like you used to talk about gay people in the 90s.
Yeah.
And I just hate that shit so much. So, you know, one of the things that when I was building the site, I was like, I just really want to make it delightful. Like, I don't want you to be bummed out that you need access. Like, I want you to be like, cool, well, great. Now I can get access to this thing and I'm just going to go hang out with my friends or whatever. So I don't want to bum you out.
Yeah.
I want to come clean. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those people who talks about it in a whisper.
Yeah.
So Robin's my go-to for, hey, Robin, is this a stupid thing to say about trans people? Or is this a stupid phrase to use? Because I don't want to get it wrong and I don't want to sound like I don't, like I haven't thought it through. And she's very patient with me. And she also yells at me for whispering about it.
It's true.
Which I totally deserve, but I'd still rather get yelled at by Robin than make an ass of myself in public.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I think it can be, you know, it can be like a weird thing that people don't really know how to talk about. I think when you come to like a conversation about trans people, like everybody uses this, like it's a buzzword in, right now, but like intersectionality is really important, right? Like I'm still white, like, you know, like even if I'm like a 6-foot trans person, like I'm definitely still white and I definitely have those privileges and that other trans women of color don't, or trans men of color, or just non-binary people. So I know like a specific instance of how something that like I think should feel out, but I can't really speak to an entire community. But I mean, the times that we've talked, I've been able to at least like provide some sort of like insight of like, this is maybe how I approach that.
Yeah. And I mean, you do a great job of always giving me that caveat. And I'm not asking you, you know, as a community representative, like, hey, Bob, tell me what Black people think about this. but as somebody who at least might have some insight
right.
into something that I have zero insight into at all. Like I know nothing and I want to learn as much as possible. I want to learn enough that I can make fun of trans people the same way that I make fun of everybody else on an equal level.
Right.
That's always my goal.
For sure. It's really funny. Like, I was talking to Amelia. So the people who work on this project with me is Amelia Gapin, Kate Clark, and Annika Backstrom. And like, Amelia and I talk about like Caitlyn Jenner in a specific way, and not really her herself, but just like the example that I can set for the conversation.
Yeah. I want to be able to hate Caitlyn Jenner for being a Republican.
Yeah. I hate Caitlyn Jenner.
And for running people off the road, which seem like great reasons to hate someone.
Wait, what happened with the running off the road?
I think she ran somebody off the road at some point, right?
Gotcha.
That's very basically what happened.
I like totally got away with it.
What?
It's like, it's really weird because like we can rip on her all we want. And like, I certainly have, but like what can be really difficult, like she gave like a specific instance of where somebody was ripping on her gender and not her herself. Mm-hmm. And that's like where that line is, right? Like, yeah, you can like rip on her for being like a whatever type of person that you're not into, but like ripping her specifically because of her gender, that's like a different thing.
Right. Yeah. I have no issues with her gender. I have issues with her politics.
Yeah. I mean, she's voting for Ted Cruz.
Ugh.
Oh, God. How?
She the only one voting for Ted Cruz?
What?
She's the only one voting?
She is the one voting for Ted Cruz.
Wow.
That's how we end up with Donald Trump.
Boy, it's almost like being an asshole is intersectional too.
It's true.
Go on.
Well, it's just like, it doesn't matter what kind of person you are. Like, you can still be an asshole.
Oh, of course. Anyone can be an asshole.
Even if the world is fucking you over in a systematic way, maybe you're still an asshole.
Isn't everyone an asshole to someone else?
Sure.
Like, we're all someone's asshole.
It's like a circle of life.
Everyone here is someone's asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
Being an asshole is the most democratic process in the world. It's available to everyone.
Now we're talking about Mike's life philosophy here.
Oh. All right, let's go back to My Trans Health.
Sure.
First off, I'm assuming it's mytranshealth.com. Am I correct?
Sure. Yeah.
All right, and if I go to mytranshealth.com today, what will I find there?
If you go to mytranshealth.com right now, you're going to find a video of me talking about sort of my experiences getting access to hormones. And you'll also find like a little bit of back information about what the site actually is and a way to sign up just to our email newsletter. So when we do launch, you're a little bit more in the loop.
If I go to mytranshealth.com sometime in April, May-ish, let's build some flexibility in there.
Yeah, how about that?
Why don't we just do a robot voice in there where we eventually put in like June 15. What will I find then?
So what we did with the design is really cool. Essentially, like, the way Amelia and I were talking about how we were going to like design just the access to the library was kind of like the most difficult part of the conversation. So when you come to the site, you have two different entryways to get access. The first is like up on search, you can just like type in hormones, like a drop down will come down and we'll like kind of just give you filters that you can click in and off, and then you just hit go and you're down in the library.
By the way, it's a sign of how careful I am that she said there's two different ways to gain access, and I did not make a joke.
Oh, look at you go.
Wow.
How about that?
All right.
So mature today.
Everybody's on their best behavior.
Showing growth, I guess.
The second way is just we kind of walk you through a guided experience. So we're kind of like, we act as your librarian, right? And we start asking you questions. We're like, you know, how do you identify? Do you need help figuring out what that actually is? Where do you live? What kind of stuff do you need access to? And then we just pop you back down into the same search that you'd get if you were just on the top doing your regular search.
What do you mean talk? Talk to who?
What do you mean talk? What did I just say?
Did you say talk?
If top.
You
just...
top.
Top.
Oh, never mind.
We took the time to include voice into the MVP. We thought that was going to be a valuable piece.
Really?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Okay. Now we've gone off the rails.
I wish.
Anyhow.
So if I were trying to keep in the loop about my trans health, where should I be following for updates?
So it's just that handle for Twitter, Instagram. I think our Kickstarter is just My Trans Health. We're on Tumblr. Amelia is a developer over at Tumblr. Mm-hmm. So
okay.
Oh, neat.
We've had like a lot of great success with them. Yeah, we're just kind of like on the internet. We're on Facebook too.
The internet, you say?
I always forget about Facebook because I'm not on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same.
There's a lot of reasons not to be.
There are some reasons to be, maybe.
Sure. Then again, I'm you know, you got to serve an audience. And I'm assuming there's a, I'm being so careful today.
You're doing really great. Yeah.
God.
I bring out the best in you.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You have that thing. I'm gonna be really flattering for a second.
Of me?
No.
God damn it.
You? Sit the fuck down. No. Robin, you are, Steph was pointing this out to me that a lot of times on this program, we talk a lot about like how people don't think about what they're doing or the design without a sense of care. And that you are designing a thing with a sense of care that is good for people. Like you're using your powers as a force of good. Would you say that's accurate?
Sure. I mean, I've also, you know, like when I was a designer over at New Balance, like I built like, you know, physical booths. At Amazon, I do totally different work. So I think like I have like a wide range of how I approach problems. But like my general rule of thumb and like what I've said over the years is like, as long as like this thing that I'm making doesn't actively like hurt or kill anyone, I'm pretty cool with making it.
Yeah.
But Robin's my example of a designer who's out there with an ethical compass of what she's working on.
Well, what I was really taken with is that you saw a problem in the world and you're like, well, I have the power of design and I have tech and I'm going to fix this.
And right.
I mean, I feel like there's a lot of times where there's all these startups who have the same power and aren't fixing problems that help anyone. So that's what I was like glowing about earlier. Like, we got to talk to Robin, who's fixing real problems.
Well, you know, sometimes your cat needs a dating app.
True. God. It's very, very true. My cat, I think.
No, oh, you go. I'm going to make a stupid joke about my cat.
No, I want to hear that joke. Give me that joke.
My cat needs a dentist. My cat has one tooth left.
So you like Yelp for cats?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One-toothed cat. Anyhow, go on. That was weird.
Can cats get like dentures? Is that a thing?
No.
Oh my
instead,
God.
It turns out cats don't give a shit if they don't have any teeth. Like we were thinking we would need to like buy, like chop up lots of food for this little guy once we got five of his remaining six teeth removed. But one tooth cat still choking down kibble.
He still nailing it.
He does not give a shit.
Dripping.
Yes. He's dripping.
I think a one toothed cat is so much funnier than a no toothed cat.
It looks hilarious.
Yeah. So anyways, back to gender.
Thank you. Yes.
Robin.
Hi.
Hi. So, hey, what does success look like for my trans health? Like where do you want this to go?
Sure. So, I mean, I think success is going to be dependent on a couple of different things. One, we're going to get a lot of great data that will help us like get people more access to quality healthcare. Two, success is just like, I mean, there is a reality that trans people are 41% more likely to try and commit suicide throughout our lives. And if we can get that number down, that'd be pretty great.
Yeah, that'd be pretty great.
You say 41%?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's a dire statistic.
It's pretty high. And we're not exactly like the largest community in the whole world either. Like we're pretty small. Yeah. So like just purely speaking about data, like there are a ton of initiatives that are happening throughout the nation in ways that like they haven't been happening in a really long time. And, you know, if this tool can help contribute to like a little bit of that, because I mean, I remember when I was younger, just trying to get access to it, it's really difficult. And that kind of spiraled me out into like this really weird world. And I probably wouldn't have done the things that I did in hindsight if I would have just gotten access a lot earlier. So I'm hoping this alleviates that kind of awkward phase.
Yeah.
Yeah. Improving lives.
That's the game plan.
Helping the youth.
For sure.
As you do. Or the non-youth, as the case may be.
All youth and non-youths and semi-youths.
Yes.
Are there any age stuff that you have to worry about with this site?
That is a super good question. There are definitely different types of restrictions for people who are under 18. One of the things that I've done kind of over the years is when I do speak to people who are a little bit younger, I've just kind of reiterated this idea of being very stubborn and making sure that like the right people are hearing them within their communities. Because there's definitely like different kind of constraints that can happen within state, depending on how old you are. But one of the things that I've just always advocated is just to really be stubborn about it.
What do you mean by being stubborn about it? Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
So when I say being stubborn about it, I mean not really quieting yourself about it because like you think it'll be like a nuisance or whatever. Like I think a lot of times trans people like will have a really difficult time talking about their experiences. And like when we do, it can kind of like, we kind of can feel like a burden. And you know, one of the things that can happen when you do start to feel like a burden is you kind of either, you know, put yourself on hold or you just kind of like are a little bit exhausted and you kind of run out of a little bit of the steam to do this thing that you really need to do. So being stubborn is this way to just really kind of force yourself to get access in any kind of way you need. For me, being stubborn was, you know, leaving Maine. For other people, being stubborn is just yelling louder in their own communities.
So what's the doctor and services coverage like on MyTransHealth? Are there certain areas that have a lot more doctors or is it pretty evenly distributed?
Yeah, so we're launching in 4 cities, potentially 6 at launch. Okay. We're launching in New York, San Francisco, Miami, and Chicago. And if everything goes as according to plan, there should be 2 other ones that come into play.
Mm-hmm.
It's been like a pretty wide range. So we broke up the access into 4 different pieces. There was like medical, mental health, legal, and crisis care. And we've been trying to find a balance between all of those pieces on who can actually give access to it. So it's been pretty balanced so far between the 4 cities, but I'm sure once we break out into rural communities, it's going to be a much different story just because that's just what the climate will look like.
Yeah, definitely.
And what happens to MyTransHealth in Donald Trump's America? I want to start talking about this. I want to start talking about what happens to all of these things that everybody's working on when that happens.
They become more difficult and they also become more dire.
They might become illegal.
They might become illegal, at which point I will still do this.
Good.
I mean, that would be really shitty to throw me in jail for making this thing trying to help people.
That would be deeply shitty.
Not unheard of.
Might happen. Still going to do it.
You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't look good, does it?
Does not look good from where I'm standing right now.
I'm so sad to think it's even a possibility that
it's a very big possibility.
It just makes me sad to think that it is.
It might be moving to probability.
It's taking a turn for the sad.
Yeah.
We already talked about suicide earlier.
Back to your cat.
Yeah. His name is Horsey.
Horsey?
Why'd you name a cat name. Horsey?
I didn't name him. I picked him up at the shelter and his name was Horseshoe and we never called him that.
That's his shelter name.
Yeah.
That's like a slave name.
Well, he's a cat. He doesn't answer to it.
Yeah. He probably didn't even know you exist. It's a cat.
He's a nice guy.
Cats hate people.
I don't think that's
no,
true.
No, they don't.
I do.
They love being fed. People have the food.
It's true. Mm. When I was living in Oregon, so like I got to Oregon, and I rented like an Airbnb for a week. Mm-hmm. And then while I was there, I found a room upstairs in some woman's house. And I lived there for 3 months while I was making my trans health.
Mm-hmm.
She had a cat and it was very a Portland experience. Like basically the window in the living room was always open and this cat would just come and please as she wanted to.
You know, I'm picturing you living with one of the women from Women and Women First bookstore in Portland.
I live like
right?
a block away from that.
Nice. That place is real?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
So why did? So I thought every young person's dream was to retire to Portland at 28. Why did you leave Portland?
Why did I leave Portland? Portland was interesting.
That word is never used as a positive, by the way.
Right. So I thought Portland, for first, like I moved out and people on the East Coast talk about Portland like it's this like heavenly place that just like everything is beautiful and everybody's perfect and hanging out. And I got that. I remember getting off the plane and just being like, holy shit, everybody's in a coffee shop and it's the Thursday afternoon. Like, what's happening?
Well, they've retired.
Right. And I frequently find myself going into meetings and having conversations about design. And, you know, I would leave being like, this went really great. And then, you know, like a month would pass by and I was just like, there's like no sense of urgency in this whole city. And maybe that's part of what makes Portland, Portland, but it crushed me.
I could see that. Some people need more hustle and bustle.
Yeah. But like the thing about communities though, like one of the things that I've learned in like bouncing around so much mm-hmm. is like, you can't entirely change a community that is like deep into that infrastructure. Like it either kind of works for you or it doesn't.
Yeah.
Like spend a lot of time like making like small scale changes or big scale changes. But like I've, you know, for me, it was just like, oh, well, this place is cool, but it doesn't really work as great for me. So I'm going to go to Seattle and, you know, now people have places to be.
Yeah. Seattle is a little more, Seattle is a place where, you know, like people are too busy to carry an umbrella. And so they just like barrel through rain.
Because umbrellas are stupid, Liam.
Are umbrellas stupid?
They're
umbrellas
so stupid.
Are ridiculous. They don't work. They don't work for rain.
Robin, weigh in on umbrellas.
I mean, I used my umbrella as a weapon the other night, so.
Kick ass.
Tell me.
I'm sad you had to.
You want
to
talk about that?
Sure.
Let's talk about that.
So I was walking home last Wednesday and there was some like guy at like some sidewalk that locked eye contact with me and he just started like laughing hysterically. And I was like, oh, this isn't good. So I started like walking faster and he screams out like effing T word.
What's T word?
It's like train with a Y at the end of it.
So hold on a second. Let me be ignorant for a bit.
Sure.
That's a bad word.
To me, it is.
Okay. Why is that a bad word? I'm not arguing with you. I'm just trying to understand.
Why are you so defensive from the get-go?
I don't know.
That's just his natural state.
No, it's not.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like a porcupine.
Because I don't want to be ignorant. If I'm hurting you, I want to know why I'm hurting you, and I want to be doing it on purpose.
Right, but like,
how's that?
Like, you're an immigrant, and when I talk about immigration issues with you, I don't walk on eggshells when I do it.
Oh, okay, that's fair. Have we ever talked about immigration issues?
I don't think we have, to be honest.
So what are you talking about?
That's why she's never been on eggshells.
All right.
Yeah, so I don't really like that word because it comes from a derogatory place and it's a slur frequently yelled at trans people before they get attacked.
Okay.
So it can like instill like this really deep sense of fear.
Yeah.
Okay. So this guy yelled that at you.
This guy yelled that at me and I was like a drink in and decided the best way to respond to that would be to take my umbrella and smash it against a telephone pole and tell him to screw off.
That would be very intimidating.
Yeah.
It worked.
I'm sure.
Okay, so I'm glad you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
And I'm glad you didn't end up in jail for hitting him with the umbrella.
Also true.
I kind of wish you had, because he had it coming. But I have a feeling that you would have ended up on the wrong end of that stick.
Like, my general rule of thumb is, like, you can be, like, weird or whatever, just like as long as I can like ensure that you're not going to physically harm me, I probably don't care that much.
Yeah,
but you know, this was the instance where I was just like, this crappy thing just happened. I would like to get out of the situation as quickly as possible. Here is a method that I can do to get out of this situation as quickly as possible.
So what happened after that? Did he back away or?
He just continued laughing, and I kind of like ran to my apartment.
That sucks.
Yeah,
kind of sucks.
I want to beat his ass.
That really sucks.
It was a not enjoyable experience.
How often does shit like this happen?
Not really that often, to be honest.
That's good.
I mean, at least to me. I mean, I think it happens like kind of overall on like the large scale of trans people, like more often than it's happened to me. More often than it's happened to me, rather. But for me, I mean, like I've dealt with like weird stares or whatever, but like I just don't care for the most part. But this was like a specific instance that got me off guard.
Yeah.
But hey, I get to design shit, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Hopefully you're designing things that normalizes gender in such a way that people don't have such weird, shitty reactions to it anymore.
Yeah. Weird days aside, I get to like wake up and drink coffee and design. Like, that's pretty cool.
That's rad.
Do you think there's anything you could do? Like, I know you don't know this guy, but can these people evolve? Or are they a lost cause?
How can I answer that question really indirectly?
I don't know.
I mean, if you like look on CNN, you'll find a Donald Trump expose. So maybe they can or maybe they can't. I think ignorant people will always kind of be ignorant, but you can look at a Trump rally and still see the masses.
Not if people keep stopping him from having them.
That was pretty cool, right?
Wasn't that great?
It's neat.
I love Chicago.
Go Chicago.
One of your launch cities, right?
Yeah.
Go Chicago.
It's also where my dad grew up, too.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
Excited. I'm going to be out there next week.
You are.
Cool.
Yep.
I never know what people are doing. You're in Chicago next week.
Yep, just for a long weekend.
All right.
Have fun.
I will have fun.
Oh, man, there's a restaurant I went to in Chicago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that Harper Reed told me about. I need to get that name for you.
Okay, good. I need recommendations.
It was amazing. Fried pickles.
Doesn't Harper have great hair?
And great outfits.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah, he has great outfits.
He's just great overall.
Very well put together, man.
So I got a Bloody Mary.
Uh-huh.
And they put a fried pickle on top of it.
Oh my God, I need to go to that.
I know, right?
A frickle, you say?
A thing like that.
A thing like that.
A thing like, it's been pickled and then fried.
Wow.
Okay. I don't know where to go from there.
Neither do I. Yeah, that doesn't really lead anywhere.
So then you went to Amazon.
Yeah.
How's Amazon?
It's really good.
Without getting you in trouble here.
No, I mean, like, it's actually, like, really good.
Can you tell us what you're doing at Amazon?
Sure. So I'm a UX designer on the review and community team.
Oh,
nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
So what does that involve? What are the problems you're solving around that?
A few different problems. Specifically, like, an overall problem is just really, like, helping people make informed decisions as far as purchasing goes and any other thing that they would like to learn, just on the basis of how they make decisions for the types of products that they're looking at. Basically, mm-hmm. giving them more information in a way that's helpful for them.
So are we talking about the specific reviews on product pages?
That's part of it, yeah.
That's part of it. Can you bring back the Family Circus reviews, please?
Family
what?
Circus.
Do you guys not know about this?
No, I don't know about this.
I know about Family Circus.
Do you know about the reviews?
I'm not sure I know those specific ones.
Oh my God. So this is legend. This is internet legend. So when Amazon first opened up, like late 90s,
okay.
People started leaving very dense philosophical reviews of Family Circus collections.
Okay.
It was one of the most amazing things on the internet, which wasn't that big yet.
Is this backed up anywhere?
Oh, it's got to be.
Probably.
It's got to be in the
archive.
Possibly.
Archive.org.
I don't know how well archive.org does with Amazon product pages.
Yeah, neither do I.
But hey, Robin, ask around.
I will.
There's got to be somebody there who remembers the Family Circus reviews.
Wow. For sure.
They were an amazing thing.
I mean, as far as the company goes, when I sat down with the team that I work with, I was just incredibly inspired and impressed with how they're approaching design. And at that point, I mean, when I was in Oregon, I probably interviewed like 40 or 50 times. So this was just the one that kind of stood out the most for me.
And how's Seattle treating you apart from this one asshole?
It's cool. It's really hilly. I kind of, you know, like I bike everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically impossible to bike up the hill that I live on. So that's a little bit of a drag. But other than that, like, I mean, it's pretty warm. The weather's a bit weird, but pretty cool.
Can you say drag?
I think so. Can we talk about dripping?
Boom.
Ooh.
Done.
Oh, we're dripping right now. Hey, Robin, are feelings real?
Feelings?
What the fuck? Where did that come from?
From the Post-it.
Well, that doesn't make it okay.
I think it does. Yeah. Are feelings real?
Why are we talking about feelings now?
Because.
Mike, we talked about this a little bit. I think feelings can be real, but I'm an advocate of productive feelings.
I've never used the plural.
One feeling?
What is your feeling, Mike?
Anger. Mike's feeling is anger. Robin, talk to me about productive and unproductive feelings.
Frustration, anxiety are often not productive feelings in my eye. They're feelings that you just kind of have to like get out. Mm-hmm. But like a productive feeling could be like excited or like nervous could be a productive feeling or really interested. Like, feelings that can actually like move something a little bit more forward.
I feel you. Okay. Cool.
No, I mean, some feelings, like I think it's good to feel bad feelings too. Like,
sure.
I mean, I love feeling bad feelings at times, but they just have their place.
Sure. Okay.
We all learned that in Inside Out.
Yeah. Talk to me about your feelings though, Mike.
So I'm very in touch with my feelings. You're such a dick.
Sorry. I think you actually are.
I totally agree with Robin that there are productive feelings and that there are unproductive feelings. And this is actually something that we try to talk about at work a lot. Like a lot of the feelings that people have around work, like anxiety and worry.
Hunger.
So hunger is a real feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to fix, and we do that often. Mm-hmm. But like being worried about something, which is actually a thing that a lot of people, like, it's a feeling that people impose on you. Like, are you worried about this? You should be worried about this.
Mm.
And you get absolutely nothing out of being worried about something. You either deal with it or you don't deal with it. Anxiety is crippling, and it's totally bullshit feeling. I'm not saying that because if you're feeling anxiety, you're an idiot. I know people who are crippled by anxiety, and it's you don't get anything positive out of it, which is different from, you know, trying to make somebody feel anxious. Like, and this is something that you deal with a lot in client services. Clients get anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And human nature, when you're anxious, is to try to make everyone else around you anxious, because then your anxiety feels justified.
Yeah.
So we actually practice how to handle that client anxiety and how to turn it into something else, rather than adopting it, which is, I think, the normal way that people handle anxiety is to adopt other people's anxiety, which really sucks, because then the person who is feeling anxious in the first place gets to walk away having deposited their anxiety on you.
Mm.
It's our number one mule rule.
Do not adopt client anxiety.
You know, what's kind of like really interesting about that, though? Like, so going from being freelance for a few years to being full-time, the way that like anxiety can be adopted, I found has like just really shifted over the years, just in the sense that like I've gone from selling design to selling design decisions, which I think is an important distinction between the two.
That's a wonderful nuance, and I like it.
Yeah.
Do you want to expand on that a little bit more?
Yeah. So like when I was freelance, I would talk about design a lot with clients, and I'd be frequently selling the design. So I'd be selling that, like, you know, here's this product that I've worked on. Here's how I solved it from point A to B. Here's some wireframes. And then, you know, during client meetings, I would be like, this is the solution that I came up with. The reason why I came up with it was because of X, Y, and I think it'll benefit your company for X, Y reasons.
Yeah.
And when you're actually internal, it's more like you're working with a family, and you're like, all right, here's this thing, and neither of us know how to solve it right now. And it's okay that neither of us know how to solve it, because we're just trying to solve this problem, as opposed to like selling the solve for the problem. We're just trying to solve it. So it's totally different.
I understand. Yes, yeah. That is an interesting distinction. And I think it's one that we have to make between if we're talking about something amongst ourselves, or if we're talking about something to a client or a stakeholder. And part of that is about conserving the feeling that we have about our work for transfer to someone else. Like, if we're not sure about something, we should not be taking our unsureness towards someone. We should be sure about something and sell the fact that we're sure about it in order for them to have a more productive feeling about the thing that we're making.
And I would say, like, internally, we definitely have disagreements about things, and sure, then we argue it out until we come to the same conclusion. So when we're talking to the client, we're talking from one viewpoint, mm-hmm, one design, one sale.
Mm-hmm. So before we run out of time here, we'll talk about one of the things that Robin and I talk about sometimes, which I enjoy. Basketball.
Hmm. Yeah.
Basketball.
Robin loves basketball.
I do.
And I want to talk about the Warriors.
They're doing really great. Real great.
They are, I believe, at 59-6 right now.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The goal is to beat 82-10.
Yeah, 72-10.
72-10. Sorry.
Sorry, I don't mean to overstep.
No, no. I think they're going to do it.
I kind of hope they do. I mean, so I was like a really big Bulls fan, still am, even though Derrick Rose is not performing as best as I'd like him to be. But well, it's been such a joy to watch.
Well, he's performing pretty well for somebody made of glass.
Oh,
he is. His knees, his ankles shatter like the minute he hits the ground.
It's true.
It's sad. It's incredibly sad.
But how about Steve Kerr? That guy's doing it all.
Well, he just started doing it all because we got to talk about Luke Walton, right?
Yeah, true.
Because Luke Walton went in there as an interim coach, and how long was he in there? Like at least 50 games worth.
Yeah, he was up there for a while.
Yeah, and he gets absolutely no official recognition for that. Although I wouldn't be surprised if he was head coaching somewhere else next year. He deserves it. He deserves a head coaching job.
Totally, yeah.
I feel like the Warriors have two great head coaches.
Which might attribute to their success. But also, I mean, like Steve Kerr, you know, he won like three back-to-back with the Bulls. And then he went to the Spurs and then won another championship. I think he's one of the only players to actually win four championships in a row.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing.
He's an amazing player and he's a great coach. I'm a little bit worried about Iguodala being out for 2 weeks right now.
Yeah. That guy's so fun to watch, though.
He's amazing.
Yeah. Ugh. I'm really happy for the Warriors. If they take the win, I'll be stoked.
The only team I'm worried about is the Spurs.
They're so good.
I mean, if the Warriors weren't doing what they're doing this year, we'd be talking about the Spurs.
Nobody ever talks about the Spurs.
Which is why they win all the time.
It's true. They're always the sleeper team.
Yeah, you know, I would never sleep on Pop.
Yeah.
Fantastic coach.
But even, you know, like within that, like I don't like LeBron James, but I think at this point, like I kind of want him to win one with the Cavs. Like I don't love him, but if he does, I'd be pretty happy for him.
I want Cleveland to win one.
Yeah.
And I got no issue with him. I mean, he's a great player.
Yeah.
I want to see the Warriors take another one this year.
Be pretty cool.
I think eventually the rest of the league will catch up to what the Warriors are doing. The Warriors themselves will get a little older.
Mm. Maybe we'll get the Supersonics up here again.
You need something up there. You need something.
Oh, I wish. That would make my life.
Entirely possible that the Warriors will eventually be a true San Francisco team.
Yeah, the Warriors are going to be moved. No, that's a done deal.
That's a done deal?
That's a done deal.
Thank you.
They're building a stadium on the Embarcadero, I believe.
Good.
The Warriors are coming back to town.
That's fantastic. I really didn't give a shit about the Niners, so I'd rather trade the Niners, the fuck out, and then like just bring the Warriors in.
I mean, you can go to a basketball game.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, now you can't because it's in the East Bay. And
I technically can. I just don't want to.
No, I mean, what I'm talking about is two people can decide spur of the moment, hey, let's go to a basketball game.
Oh, sure.
And it's, you know, it's not a big deal. Same with a baseball game, although it's a lot more time. But going to a football game, it needs to be planned out like months ahead of schedule.
It's an ordeal.
It is. It's an ordeal and it's expensive as hell. It's not something that you can just go, hey, let's go to a basketball game.
And Candlestick was built like a prison. Like it looked like in 15 years it was going to be like Mad Max 4, like the set. So I'm glad that piece of shit is gone. And I know that a lot of people don't like it. I say that because, you know, San Francisco.
So we're getting a new basketball stadium. The Warriors are coming back to town. And then we're going to go watch some basketball games.
It's going to happen.
Cool.
Talking about sports ball at large, though, I was down in SoCal this past weekend and everywhere. You know what they're selling right now?
Rams shit.
Rams shit. LA Rams shit. Everywhere you go.
Who are the Rams?
The St. Louis Rams, who were originally LA Rams, are coming back to be the LA Rams again.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
They're getting a stadium where Hollywood Park used to be.
Neato.
Because I haven't mentioned horse racing yet this episode.
There you go. I would like to also mention and I'm not going to explain this any further. Anyone who is interested should ask me about my favorite basketball anime. Off the air.
Liam.
Hey.
What's your favorite basketball anime?
Off the air.
Okay.
Okie dokie.
There's going to be giant animated cocks involved, aren't there?
No, it's actually like one of the... So it's a high school basketball anime. And it's,
okay. off the air.
Okay. Well, I'm not gonna give you the full overview.
I want to know why you can't talk about it on the air.
I can, yeah. But it's just like I don't want to talk about anime that much on the air. But look, okay, so this is a program. It's a 130-episode program about high school basketball. And it's like the only high school anime I can think of that is not a piece of shit about objectifying schoolgirls. Like, there's not a single, like, upskirt shot in the entire stupid series. It's just wonderful. It's just wholesome high school basketball and the occasional gang fight.
Why do you
it's
hate women?
It's a very good thing. What?
Why do you hate women?
What? Okay, first Robin, yes, I am such a dad. First, yeah. Then Mike, yep. What?
I think we're done here.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Closing remarks, anyone? Robin?
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Thank you for coming and talking with us.
Robin, it's been a pleasure to have you here. I'm super thrilled with everything you're doing. I can't wait to see how successful my trans health is. I'm sure it's going to be amazing. You deserve every good thing and more that comes out of that.
Truth.
Thanks. It'll be good. I'm really excited about it.
We are too.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
This was such a positive episode, everyone.
Yay.
It was. We stayed on task most of the time. Most of the time.
And we got in some sports.
Sports.
Sports ballin'.
That's what matters.
Yeah. Liam and I were just shrugging at each other for most of that.
Yeah, well.
I only watch basketball drunk.
No.
I went to like every college basketball game in college because I was in the marching band. So I'm like, I've had sufficient basketball.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, you know, you weren't really part of the team.
Yeah, I was.
No.
The most important part of the team, the band.
Boy. Just a marching band. It's not part of the team.
Yeah.
Robin, we'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye, Robin.
Bye, Robin. Bye. Thank you.
See you guys.